Okay, today is Wednesday, December 19th. This is the Women's Chumashir. We're in the middle of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishis. Okay, Rabotai. We are in the middle of Perek Yud Zayin of Sefer Bereishis. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu had come, beginning with Pasuk Tet Vav through Yud Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avram and did three things. Number one, he changed Sarai's name. That was Pasuk Tet Vav. Number two, in Pasuk Tet Zayin, he blessed her and promised that she would give birth to a child. Number three, the Torah text tells us that Avram prostrated himself on the floor and he was happy, even though it said the word Vayitzchak, and Vayitzchak in Ofel means that he was laughing sarcastically. We spent quite a bit of time trying to prove why everybody follows Targum Onkelos, that this time around it does not mean that he laughed sarcastically, but quite the contrary. He was just delighted and smiling at the good news. And he said, what a wonderful piece of news, knowing that I am at 100 and my wife is at 90. Even though, again, it's probably not the simple read of the text. The simple read of the text is that Avram is doubting, how could I possibly have a child at 100? My wife is at 90. But nonetheless, Onkelos did not allow any of the other commentaries to seek the simple pshat route. So we spent quite a bit of time. Avram pipes up and said, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefanecha. That's great news, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but I already have a child, and I don't want this child to suffer any consequences by virtue of the fact that you promised me another child. Avram was seriously concerned that Yishmael would die now, and either die, which is the simple pshat, or according to Rashi, which we read last week, and the Ramban who objected to it, that he was worried that Yishmael is not going to remain loyal to the divine word. He will simply try to worship idolatry and so on and so forth, and that Yichye does not necessarily mean physically alive, but spiritually alive. And the Ramban, if you remember correctly, didn't like that either. So now, and then, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond to him, and that's where we pick up in Pasuk Yutet. However, one simple comment on page number one of the handout of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Now, we can read the Pasuk first. So we'll go back. We're up to Pasuk Yutet. That's where we're up to. Vayomer Elohim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Aval Sarah Ishticha Yoledet Lecha Ben. Your wife Sarah will give birth to a child. Vikarata Shemo Yitzchak. You shall name him Yitzchak. Vahakimoti et briti ito. And I will establish my covenant with him, with Yitzchak, librit olam lizaror acharav, for a permanent covenant with all of his subsequent children. Okay. Simple pasuk to translate. What question would you ask in light of the way I just reviewed Pasuk Yud Zayin? I reviewed Pasuk Yud Zayin and told you, based on Onkelos, how does everybody interpret that Pasuk? In light of the way they pass it, what question must you ask? Yes?
How is Hashem telling him to name Yitzchak?
That's a question, but it's not the best question. Okay? That doesn't depend on the previous pasuk on Yud Zayin.
Yitzchak versus Yishmael.
more powerful. What was Abraham's concern?
About Ishmael.
So that's going to be answered in the next pasuk. In the next pasuk, it says in pasuk chav, Uli Yishmael, concerning your Shmaticha. I heard you, Abe. I heard. And we'll see what he says. But I want to know what is difficult about the first pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds in light of how I reviewed pasuk Yud Zayin.
Why does it say I'm happy about it?
But even a little sharper, just make hit the nail on the head.
Hashem is saying to him, you know, he's kind of saying,
right. The word "aval" has to be translated by So what's
in other words, he was not that happy.
That he wasn't happy. Yeah, even sharper. He didn't believe it. If you read, let's read Pasuk Yud Zayin. I'm going to read it the way the simple reading of the text should be read, not being influenced by Unkelus, Rashi, the Ramban, and everybody else. I'm going to read it simply based on the text, the first time I've ever seen this text. Never heard it before. What does it say? God told him in Tet Zayin, your wife is going to have a child. He fell down on the floor and he laughed. And he said to himself, you mean at 100 years old I am going to give birth to a child? You mean to tell me it is possible that my wife Sarah at 90 years old is going to what? To give birth to a child? Now he doesn't say this out loud. He's only thinking this. That's why the Torah says Vayomer Bilibo. What does he actually say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefanecha. So now what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing in Pasuk Yutet? I know what you were thinking. Vayomer Elohim el Avraham. I know what you were thinking. Is it really possible? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, it is possible. Aval Sarar Ishticha Yoledet Lecha Ben. And you are going to call him what? Yitzchak. Why are you going to call him Yitzchak?
Because I heard you
laughing at the notion that what? That you're going to have a child. So if you assume that there was an element of doubt running through Avraham's mind, under those circumstances, we can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's immediate response even before he responds to what Avraham actually asked. Because what he verbally articulated was, what's going to happen with Yishmael? What's going to happen with Yishmael? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer that right away. That's in the next pasuk. However, if we should adopt Unkelus and everybody else that Pasuk Yud Zayin is not an expression of doubt on Avraham's part that he's going to have a child, and that he's rejoicing, and that sometimes, as Ramban pointed out, you can have Yitzchok meaning two different things. It can mean you're smiling and laughing because it's such great news. Wow, that's great. Great. I won the lottery last night. I didn't. But I won the lottery last night. Otherwise, I would be smiling from ear to ear. Or it could mean, yeah, sure. What else is new? Smiling and laughing, ridiculing. So here, no one wanted to accept that interpretation. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to pipe in again and say, Aval, Sarah Ishtecha? The truth is, Aval is going to be interpreted as not but the truth is that what? You, your wife, Sarah, said, did anybody doubt it? He told her that 2 psukim later. He said, your wife, Sarah, said, So why would it be necessary to have this pasuk recorded at all? What do you want to suggest?
I think it's what do you say later when Sarah laughs and says, "Mama Zachah."
Okay, right.
Kind of, so this, what's that question?
So we asked that already. We asked, what guided Chazal to interpret that particular pasuk as laughter, and this one not? So we said that there was something in this pasuk that indicated it. What was that? Vayipol gets Avraham al panav. Why is a person prostrate on the floor? To do what? To pray, to say something, prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if he would be mocking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there'd be no reason for him to fall on the floor. If he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's delighted, we understand Vayipol al panav. Because that's the way you express thanksgiving to God. Vayishtachavu lifnei Hashem. That always happens. Either you fall down in frustration. I gave you an example. Correct. But that's frustration.
I don't know what to do. It feels like the same thing here, maybe. I'm confused. What kind of message are you giving me that I'm going to have a child?
Yeah, I'm going to have a child. That means you're doubting.
Right.
Okay. So I'm saying. Okay, so then our pasuk here is alleviating his doubt. That's what I'm saying. But if you accepted everybody else that there was no doubt, just bursting and happy, why is it necessary to confirm that which he already confirmed himself? Yeah?
Maybe the subject is really about Teva versus like an unusual manner. So that when he says himself, that would take something out of the ordinary in order for me to have a son that way. And then he said, but I have Yishmael in the Teva way. So maybe then Hashem is then answering him, no, I want it this way. In other words, that it's not a Teva way.
Okay. It's okay, I hear. But Avram, as we well know, later gave birth to 6 more children. Not such a shocking thing. Everybody had kids at that age. We showed Psukim to indicate that. Yeah.
Maybe it's Hashem saying, I know you are happy. We're calling you Yitzchak because I want you always to remember that you accepted what I told you, and each time you called him that, the brief that I had that I promised you would be for you and your children after that.
Okay, I hear. Nice. Perhaps. Yeah, I'm not saying it's bad. I don't have a great answer. I don't have any answer. I need your help. I'm just pointing out the difficulty. The difficulty of this pasuk in light of how everybody interpreted pasuk Yud Zayin. Yes.
I want to go back to something that struck me last week. This is not about Abraham. It's about Sarah. Hashem makes the point in that, you know, he says, Lo yichye Yishmael, and God says to him, yeah, I know you're happy with your one son, but it's not about you. I want to give a son to Sarah.
Good.
And she deserves it as much as you do. Not everything is about you. And also,
okay. Okay, right. But that is excellent, but I don't, would you think that's Avram's registering, I already have Yishmael? When he said, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lifanecha, what is concern about Yishmael? Not telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? I have a child. I don't need any favors from you. It's not what he's saying.
Preserve my child, who is my life. Preserve Yishmael, who is everything to me. And God says, yeah, well, he may be everything to you, but he's not Sarah's son. The other thing is
okay. Interesting.
Frustration also a submission? Isn't it a sign of submission to God's will? Not only necessary...
Frustration, submission?
Prostration.
To prostrate oneself is submission to God's will? He's not asking me to do anything. He's giving me a piece of information.
Right. Whatever is your will, God, I submit to your will. Isn't that... I don't know if that's a Jewish...
There it is a way. When he's making a demand of you, and I don't like it, I feel it's contrary to my understanding, we submit to his will. There's nothing here to submit to. He gave you a piece of information. Yeah, we got to move on. Yeah.
In Yud Zayin, it says Sarah's going to have a son. In Yud Tet, it mentions the bridge. So it's telling us that he's going to have son Yishmael, that the bridge promised you will be able to go to the world.
Okay. Okay, fine. Even though he did promise him the brit to his children, even much early in Pasuk Tet, and
right.
He did say that.
But he's telling
okay.
Abraham that it's Yitzchak, it's not Ishmael.
Perhaps. That's very possible. Just be sensitive to the issue. Be sensitive to the issue. In fact, if you now go for a second to... go now to page number 3. And the Kli Yakar asks a second question. On the bottom of the page, left-hand side, Aval Sara Ishtecha Yoledet Lecha Ben. Yesh Lehit Bonein, one can question, Halo Kvar Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'gam Natati Lecha Mimena Ben. In Pasuk Tet Zayin, it says, Uberachti Ota V'gam Natati Mimena Lecha Ben. Umilat Natati, page 4 now, Milat Natati, Af al pi shehiftachta Hashem Yitbarach, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant it as a promise, what? Going forward for the future, and the Hebrew word going forward for the future is not natati, it is what? Etain, dome ki'ilu hi nituna kvar. Why does the Torah use the past tense? Because it wants to teach us it's as good as done. When something happens, it's done. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, even though it's not yet unfolding, consider it as good as done. Therefore, the Torah uses the expression Natati Lecha Mimena Bein. It uses the past tense, even though it's definitely referring to the future. Now, I know why Kli Yakar uses... That's a very sophisticated... I like that. I'm not saying I don't. But a grammarian would say, what are you asking me such a narrow shakasha? In the Torah, many times, the past is used as what? In lieu of the present. It happens all the time. So Ibn Ezra would never make such a statement. But it's a good idea anyhow. I like it. Mikol makom, nira... Shehizkir lashon avar, ki kvar natan lisara,
hahe,
asher hi siba litolada ka'amur. The hey, representing God's name, is the ultimate reason as to why she's going to give birth. Why is she going to give birth? Because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am making sure that it's going to be totally out of the ordinary. That is true. But why did I put a hey to her name? Hey often represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since the hey was given to her name, that's as good as what? As good as done that she will have a child. The ode, Masha Omar Halabein Me'a Shana Yivaleid, V'chi haya Avraham misupak b'yecholet ha'el? Was Avraham doubting the ability of God? Chalila, God forbid. Who would ever think such a thing of Avraham? Kli Yakar would never do that. He would never be critical of Avraham. Ki pshuto mashma, she'ein ze t'miha kayemet. The simple pshat would indicate that this is not a surprising doubt that it's really, it's impossible. The yagidu alav re'o, the im sarah habat tishim shana teleid. Now, the next phrase should confirm what I'm just saying. What did he say about? He said about himself, am I going to give birth at 100? What is he saying about Sarah? Is she going to give birth at 90? So is that going to support his contention that Avraham could not have doubted it? Could not have doubted it. Do you think that it supports it or doesn't?
Does not.
What's he telling me here? How is he trying? He's trying to prove from the parallel statement that Sarah can't have a child at 90 to prove that Avram didn't really doubt that he couldn't have a child at 100. That's a little difficult. So he writes, here comes his most important point. The Hakarov Elai Bazeh, Lefisha Matsinu Lashon Bain, Af Below Leida. In Pasuk Tet Zayin, God said to Sarah, I will what? Give you a child. Didn't say anything about giving birth. It said, Natati Lecha Mimena Bain. I will give you a child through her. Now the word Bain is often used in the Torah, claims Kli Yakar, without necessarily giving birth to that child. As it says, Kimosha Amar B'Moshe Rabbeinu Vayehi La Lebein Bat Paro. Exactly. Takes Moshe and she considered him as what? As her son. Kach Chashav Avraham Me'achar Shene'emar Gam Natati Lecha Mimeno Bein. Now that in Pasuk Tet Zayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will grant you a child from her. Velo huzkur haleda, but birth was never mentioned in the context of what? Of Sarah. Vadai kavanato, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously meant, shetavi asufi min hashuk v'tigadleu al birka. They will bring in an unknown child, and Asufi is a child who we have no idea who his mother and whose parents are, and she will what? Raise him on her knees. In other words, an adopted child. Good. That was what she said in earlier when she said to come to Hagar. Good. Vidome ki'ilu haya bino ubina mamash. That would undoubtedly be considered as if this child is Avraham and Sarah's. Ki lama nehmar sheyishaneh HaKadosh Baruch HaTeva. Why would I suspect that God would what? Change nature. B'makom sheyesh lefaresh divrei Hashem maskimim HaTeva. Where we can interpret God's words to be in harmony with what?
Nature.
With the laws of nature. Laws of nature. Lekach amar b'lashon tamua. Therefore, Avraham said it with somewhat a degree of puzzlement. Halabein me'ah shana yivaleid. Am I actually going to give birth to a child? Is Sarah actually going to be giving birth to a child? As opposed to what? As well, to have it sending me a child, and we will raise that child, and we will consider it as if it's my child. As if it's my child. In the halacha itself, we recognize that an adopted child has many halachot in relationship to his adopting parents, as if they were the legal parents, the birthing child. They are birthing parents. The mitzvah of kibud av va'em applies, according to all rishonim, for an adopted child for his parents. And when the parents die, the child doesn't have to, but has a right to sit shiva. And he's encouraged by most poskim to sit shiva as an expression of thanksgiving to the adopting parents for having raised him. So there are halachot that carry over from adoption to natural childbirth. And as a result, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu now say? Al-Kain heishiv lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aval Sarah Ishtecha Yoledet Bain. Yoledet Bain. That's the dialogue that's going on. It's not that Avram, he just said, is this going to be a natural phenomenon or a miraculous phenomenon? I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to be. Why would God want to change the world of nature when we can understand Him in terms of a natural event? Get a baby, adopt him, and that's it. Yeah. Yes.
Why didn't Sarah raise Ishmael? Why didn't she take him and raise him?
Because, okay, no. She perceived Hagar as a threat. She perceived Yishmael as ultimately a threat if she was going to have a child. And it actualized after Yitzhak is born. That's why she gets rid of him. It's in the next parasha we'll learn. But no place that has seemed to indicate that Sarah ever had any love for Yishmael. Not only because he was chepping Yitzhak. Not only because of that. It just never seems to... It looks like that the relationship that existed was only Avram. And one can understand that. It just added more frustration to her every time, they saw him. He has relations with her twice and she has a baby already and I've been living with him for 50 years and nothing's happening. Yeah. Yeah, so that's how Kli Yakar handles that particular issue. Good. So now gets back to the text. Rashi tells us in Pasuk Yutet that the word aval should not be interpreted as however. But Rashi says, "Aval lashon amitat dvarim." It means we're confirming the truth. When there might have been a little doubt, we are now confirming the truth. And now, what happens? Now, what happens? The word "aval" appears when you finally recognize the element of doubt is no longer there. And Rashi brings a very interesting proof to prove that the word aval has that connotation. He quotes the pasuk which we read 2 weeks ago in Parshat Miketz. The brothers are on their way up from Mitzrayim, and suddenly what happens? They recognize that they have the money back in their bags. And they're starting to quibble with one another. What's going on here? What's going on here? And finally, they realize, they come to the aval ashemim anachnu. Maza ashemim? It's our fault. This didn't happen by accident that our money was returned in the bags. We are guilty. Not sure what we're guilty of, but we're guilty. Maybe we set this whole thing up by selling Yosef. Everything's gone downhill since that point. So here too, aval. I am confirming Sarah is going to give birth to this particular child. Continues Rashi. V'karas eshimo Yitzchak. Why? Al shem hatzchok. Based on the happiness, the laughter that engendered after the information. Now, Rashi then is going to quote a very bizarre midrash. There are lots of them that are bizarre. But usually, as Rashi, as you well know, loves midrashim, but he usually cites midrashim when he believes they are the best alternative to explaining a difficulty in the text. That's Rashi's theory. I know what the pshat is. And in fact, Rashi told his grandson, the Rashbam, if we should ever get to Parshas Vayeshev, in the introduction to Parshas Vayeshev, the Rashbam has a lengthy entry, and he says, I spoke to Grandpa and asked him, how come you quoted all these midrashim in your commentary? Why didn't you ever attempt to explain the text according to the simple pshat? And Rashi says, I am planning to. I'm going to write another perush on the Chumash where I will never cite a midrash. That's what Rashi told his grandson. He didn't live long enough to do it, but he intended to do so. And that's why the Rashbam, his grandson, you know, when he wrote the Perush, he fulfilled Rashi's will, because he never quotes a Medrash. But here, Rashi's going to quote a Medrash, and I can't understand what's driving him to quote a Medrash. Because if you look in the Medrash, there are 50 entries for every one that Rashi quotes. He doesn't quote every single Medrash. He handpicks, he selects the one that he fits is best suited to resolve a difficulty of the text. If there's no difficulty of text, Rashi doesn't say anything. And if there is a difficulty, he doesn't have the answer. What does Rashi say? He doesn't just skip over it. He tells you, Lo yodati ma bo lahashmi'enu. There's a difficulty, I just don't know what it's coming to tell us. Rashi is intellectually honest, supreme. Supreme. All you have to do is just not make a comment on it. And we say, well, of course, so simple. Rashi knew the answer. We're the idiots. We don't understand them. But let's take a look at the Rashi, which Rashi quotes. V'yesh omrim. You want to know what the name Yitzchak is? The Yud al shem ho'asara nisyonot. The Yud represents the 10 tests that Avraham had to engage in. Tzadi, the Tzadi of Yitzchak's name, Shana Sarah, Shosara, that Sarah was 90 years old. Chet, Yamim Shenimol, he was circumcised on the 8th day. Vikuf, Shana Shel Avraham. And the Kuf is the years equal to Avraham's life. Now, it's a cute little medrash, cute. And of course, you have to try to interpret that medrash. You have to interpret it. It's not the reason why it's called Yitzchak. It's got nothing to do with it. So the medrash is trying to tell us an idea. What that idea is, anybody here can say. But what I'm struggling with is, why did Rashi feel compelled to cite a far-fetched medrash? That's so far from the pshat. What's bothering Rashi? What's wrong with the weakness? What's the weakness in the simple pshat of the pasuk? What's the weakness? That it's al shem hatzchok. It's obviously al shem hatzchok.
That's not something you want to look at for the rest of your life. The name is not something that should define him, perhaps Rashi thinks. This way it can define him.
Say it a little sharper. In light of our discussion today about the two possibilities of what's running through Avraham's mind when it says Vayitzchak, give me the two possibilities again. Everybody, one that he was? That one. So now, do you always, you want to name your child, and every time you call by the name, what's going to run through your mind?
I doubt
it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. His word. Is that the way you're going to call your child? If it was the other way, I smiled, I was delighted. Okay, I can hear that. I can hear that. Every time I look at it, I recall hearing the words from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am going to have a child when I'm 100 years old. Wow! That's a great reason. That's a good name. But if I doubted it, even internally, for just a second, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell me I have to call my son Yitzchak? So I'll answer the question based on the fact that Avraham did not call him Yitzchak. Who called him Yitzchak? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now tell me the answer to that question. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want him to be called Yitzchak? Tell me why. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to remember that he doubted him the rest of his life. Because I want you to know that you did something wrong, and I'm pretty upset about it. I expect you, Avraham, never to doubt me. And I'm going to remind you of this every time that you look at your son. What's going to register in your mind was that little Vayomer Billy Bow. And I want you to agonize over it. And I want you to really sincerely repent. And I'm going to make sure that you're never going to forget about this. Yes?
I looked at it the other way. I thought that it meant that he was, every time he saw his son, he saw him, he meant joy.
That's what he said 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, so why
did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to tell him that? I can understand the joy would be if it's Abraham who named it. That I don't understand. But why did he necessarily do, unless he wanted to remind himself of the joy that is, you could say that as well. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to say it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell him, what, to be happy every minute? That's not God's style. Yeah.
But I think just to tweak it a little bit.
Go right
ahead. Instead of saying that he wants him to remember to tshuva, I think, what about saying, you have belief in me, you found me, you have emunah in me, but you doubted me for a minute or a second or whatever, and now every time you see your son, you will never doubt me again, and then you can go to the Akedah.
Absolutely.
And in the Akedah,
I like that.
That's total.
I like that.
Because he remembers.
Very good. Excellent.
Yes, yes.
Now he remembers, and that serves as the catalyst. Never to doubt again. That is sharp. I like that. I like that. What enables Yitzchak, and that's why Rashi brings in with the Nisyo note, especially the 10th one. What gives Abraham the capacity to have the courage to take his son to the Akedah? He remembers he doubted the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu once, never happening again. Excellent. Write that down. Excellent. Excellent. Yes.
But it seems like Hashem would be more sympathetic. He knows how we created human beings. So he knows that it was an unusual thing. Why would he be so like angry and like punishing him? Seems to me he should say I know it's an unbelievable thing. Like I thought what he said of all, he said, I know you don't believe it, but I'm reassuring you. Like instead of being so negative, being supportive.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it sound like, I don't think Hashem should have been angry at Abraham. It was natural what he did. And he created it that way.
I don't know if he's angry. He was a little disappointed. Okay. But that God does that sometimes. He gets a little angry at us when we fail him.
He didn't even say it. He just
went. That's for Avram, he shouldn't even think that. You shouldn't think that. Not only Avram. I shouldn't think that. Yes.
To follow up on what you were saying, it also struck me as almost like passive aggressive, like to take the child's name and use it as a punishment for time immemorial. So let's say Abram repented and perhaps saw what he did that was lacking. But now Yitzchak's name is Yitzchak's name forever.
That's
and there's no opportunity to be able
to hear what you're saying. I'm just throwing out questions and suggestions. I never claim to have definitive answers.
Well, you know, Hashem is harder on us, just like he was harder on Moshe.
Of course
because
he is.
HaKadosh
Baruch Hu Dan Sadiqim Kechut HaSa'ara. Exactly. Kechut HaSa'ara. In fact, just go for a second to Parshat Vayera for just 1 second. Because Nechami asked about Sarah for a second. So, if you go to Perek Yudchet, Pasuk Yud, so these are the three angels who come to the house, and they say to Avraham, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, where is your wife Sarah? Vayomer, Hinei Bahoel, she's in the kitchen. Vayomer, and he says, Shov Ashuv Elecha Ka'et Chaya, I will return approximately this time. V'hinei bein l'sara ishtecha. And there will be a child to Sarah your wife. V'sara shomat petach ha'oel v'hu acharav. V'avraham v'sara zikenim. Ba'im bayamim. They were very old. Chadal liyot l'sara orech kanashim. This is the editor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, throwing this in. She was already past menopause. Vatitzchak Sarah b'kirba leimor, acharei beloti haitali edna va'adoni zaken. Mean to tell me I'm going to have a child at this age, and my husband is also old. So, what happened between Perek Yud Zayin and Perek Yud Ches? What? Wow! What a shakaroo!
The first time that Sarah finds out that she's going to have a child is after the circumcision, which we have not yet read. We've not read it yet. The Torah is going to end this week. This Lech Lecha is going to end on that Avram circumcised himself when he was 99, and Yishmael was 13, and he circumcised all the male in the church. That's going to follow in the next couple of psukim. It hasn't happened yet. Then next week's parsha starts. Vayera Elav Hashem, Hakadosh Baruch Hu comes, and then there are Shlosha Anashim Ratzim Lamar. What's going on here? Avram never saw anything to Sarah. Now she's good at me. What's going on here?
Maybe
he's not so sure. So we have always been trained to think that amongst the Avot and the Imahot, it is Rivka and Yitzchak who don't seem to be talking much to one another. That's the way we think. But Avram and Sarah, we have always operated with the notion that what? That they've had a good relationship. Nothing to indicate that there was a sour or sometime that they're on different wavelengths. And that, in all probability, one would have expected, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told this to Avraham, next second, not even a minute, he was running at the Sarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told me, you're having a child.
So maybe it was another indication he was doubting it.
Okay, we don't.
Not that I should say.
Okay. No, God forbid. Okay. So now, go to page number 5 for a minute. Go to page number 5, which is the Griz, Hagod Rav Yitzchak Zev. That's the Rav's uncle, the Brisker Rav, the Chaim's son. The Rav had a grandfather, Rav Chaim. Then he had a son, Rav Bris, the Rav Velvel, and the Rav's father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. So this Griz was the Rosh Yeshiva Brisk in Vilna, as well as in Yerushalayim. He founded the Brisky Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, which everybody in the yeshiva world wants to go to for shidduch purposes. Oh, I learned in Brisk. I heard that there were 6,000 people in Brisk, only 200 get into the Beis Medrash. The rest of them are just hanging out in the street. But they went to Brisk. They went to Brisk. It's good for the resume, exactly. Did your son? He didn't learn in Brisk. Okay. Okay. In the mirror. Oh, that was the other place where you go. Right. But he learned. That I know. Says the Brisker Rav, Kosav Haramban, the Haloki La Avraham et ha-ne'emar lo mitchila. It is abundantly evident that Avraham did not share with Sarah that which he heard, aval Sarah ishticha yoledet lecha bein, that which we just read. Avraham didn't say it. Who? Why is it that Avraham did not say it? Mishum shiyada ki Hashem lo ye'aseh davar ki im gila le'avadav ha-nevi'im. If God speaks to a particular Navi, what is God's will? That it should be to this Navi. Visara Nivi'ah haita. And Sarah also was a Nivi'ah. So if God wanted to inform this couple that they are having children, who should have heard the prophecy as well? Sarah as well. Why only Avraham? She was a Nivi'ah as well. So Avraham calculated and deliberately said, you know what? Apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to tell her. Because if he wanted her to know, he would have revealed it himself. That's one interpretation. Okay. Not the most compelling, because there is no Isur. There's no Isur upon a Navi to share that which he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's a private communication. The difference is, he doesn't have to. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a communication to a Navi, which is not intended as a personal communication. What's the Navi's job? To tell everybody else, look, God told me that if you're not going to do X, Y, and Z, then A, B, and C are going to take place. Then, if a Navi withholds that,
he's executed. It's called a Navi Sheker. If he's Kovesh a Nevuato, if he withholds his Nevuah. Yonah, that was Yonah's chet, exactly. He was told to go to Nineveh and he refused and he chose not to. So, but if it is a personal communique, and there were many, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times, and it just says Vayomer Hashem Moshe without the word Lemor. Lemor means to tell it to someone else. If it says Vayomer Hashem Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him Giants are going to lose 17-0. So that's it. Stop dreaming that they're going to get into the playoffs. They're not getting into the playoffs. I know that hurts you just as much as me. So there's no isur though, no isur for him to tell her. But suggestion number one, which the Bris Rav suggests, is okay, maybe he felt this is privileged information. Oh, perhaps, mishum tirdato b'milato u'b'milat avadav. Because he was so busy having heard that this covenant hinges upon him engaging in circumcision, he got right to the mitzvah of circumcision and he has circumcised all of the slaves, so he was too busy to tell Sarah. After that, he was ill. The angels, what? Got to him. Before he had 13 seconds to say, hey Sarah, you're having a kid. It's a little beyond belief. It's a little beyond belief.
And also, Sarah still didn't hear it straight from Hashem, even though she was in Riyadh.
What?
Sarah still didn't hear it straight from Hashem. She heard it from the...
That's correct.
Twice.
That's correct. That's correct.
From listening in, not even correct.
Ah, so now what question will you ask when we start reading that?
Why?
No. A little sharper. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so upset that she's laughing? Who did she hear it? She saw three people walking through the door who looked like Arab travelers. That's what they looked like. That's what Rashi says. They were Arab travelers. And they say, oh, we heard from God. Okay, Avraham made believe because they're malachim. I had some know about that. It's a little, this whole picture is a little funny. Then, one second, his son, Rabbi Yosef Dov, the Bris Rav also had a son called Yosef Dov. He named him Yosef Dov. It's not the Rav. The Hagrid Zatzal, Omar, the Mizan Nilmar al Gudula Toshel Avraham. From this whole story, we learn about how great Avraham is. The Asha Hayakokach Chalash, that Shelo Yachol Lisaper Lisaram, the Psurat HaMalachim. He was so weak that he didn't have the energy, the ability to tell Sarah, you're having a child.
He made him dinner.
That's exactly. In Kozer, Kishi Higio Eloch Orchim, when the guests came, Miyad Kam. He got out of his bed, ran over to them, slaughtered an animal, the bishvil kiyem hamitzvah, the hachnasas archim, because of the mitzvah, fulfillment of the mitzvah of hachnasas archim, lo hitchashev klal b'chul shato hagdolah. He paid no consideration about his weakness. But to tell Sarah, I can't convince, I'm too sick. It's a little hard to believe. To defend them, exactly. Anything to defend Avraham that he didn't do anything wrong. But we always call a spade, and it's a little difficult why Avraham did not tell Sarah. Aval ishtecha Sarah, you let it be. And it's abundant. There's no doubt the text indicates that. Because why suddenly then was she doubting or smut? Why was she doubting? She should have doubted as soon as Avraham told her. Yeah.
I think he probably was keeping it from her to so that she wouldn't feel bad if it didn't happen.
Yeah.
He just held that. And that's another bit of that doubt. That's also that doubt. But I think he just cared about her feelings, not to tell her and have her hopes up.
Okay. That. Okay, that's possible. That's possible. Yeah. Yes.
Also, I was thinking that Avraham was the first one to live. He was the first one.
Right.
So it's hard to believe. I know we want to trust him and everything, but it's hard to believe that it's Sarah's fault. That Sarah's the one's blame. I see, I know we went through it, but it's hard to believe.
Yeah, I hear. It is. Good. One last comment on page number one of the Rabbeinu Hananel. Uli Yishmael Shmatich. Oh, no, that's next pasuk. No, not yet. Not yet. Yeah. So, one second, I want to show you something. That's Chaf Aleph. What's that? Yeah, if you go to page 6, Abarbanel is also going to make reference to this pasuk that we just read and use it in contradistinction to Yitzchak and Rivka. On page 6, at the beginning of Parshat Toldot, and as I told you, that's how Abarbanel writes his commentary. Takes a topic, lists 20 questions, and then he gets to the commentary, and he writes, I just resolved questions 1 and 2. Writes a little more, I just resolved questions 6, 7, and 8. So here is HaSheila HaGimel, at the beginning of Parshat Toldot. We are told that Yitzchak married Rivka when he was 40 years old, and Rivka was an Akara, and that Yitzchak prays, Vayetar Yitzchak Linochak Ishto. Yitzchak prays facing his wife, or concerning his wife, asks the Abarbanel. The Amro Vayetar Yitzchak Lashem Linochak Ishto Ki Akarahi. Vizeh Ki Mi Gidlo Shahaita Ishto Akara. Who told him that your wife is barren and she can't have a child? V'ulai shehu hu ha'akar. Maybe he's the one who is incapable of having a child. V'haya lo lihitpalel al atzmo. Why is he only praying on behalf of his wife? How about praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I am an akar, I should have the capacity to have a child. V'im haya sh'shneyem hitpalalu al zeh k'dat chachameinu, if you want to assume that they were each praying for the other one, and that's why it's l'nochach ishto, opposite his wife, lama lo amar v'yeyater lohem Hashem. God listened to what? It says v'yeyater lo. God listened to him. If they were both praying, Yitzchak should have been responded to that Rivka is going to have a child. Rivka should have been responded to that Yitzchak is no longer going to be a barren. That's the question that he asks. So then go to page number 7. And he goes back to our parsha, which convinced Yitzchak that he is not barren. Let's read it. V'zecher hakatuv, the Torah mentions, it's on the bottom of the page where it's bracketed. Where it's bracketed, the last four lines, on page 7. V'zecher hakatuv, shirivka, acharei shenis eight, after she got married, lon itabra shanim rabot, did not get pregnant for many years. V'yitzchak chashav, shahaita akara. And Yitzchak knew that what? That she was the barren one. How? The heavy olach shovze, and what made him come to that conclusion, b'pnei shahashem yitbarach amar la'avraham aviv, ki b'yitzchak yikarei l'chazara. In our parsha, the text says, you're going to give birth to a Yitzchak, v'hakimoti et b'riti ito ulezaracha acharecha. I am going to establish the fulfillment of the covenant with whom? With Yitzchak,
and his children. So v'gam ne'emar lo b'feirush, God told Yitzchak that what? You're going to have children. Abol Sarah ishtecha yoledet bein, v'karat shmo Yitzchak, v'hakimoti et briti ito lebrit olam ulezaro acharav. Michlal, apparently, shehaya atid lihiot lo zara. He knew that there was a divine promise to Avraham that not only he, Avraham, would have a child, but Yitzchak as well. Umitnei hayiudim v'ha'amarim ha'eleh, and on account of this, of these statements, gam, as an aside, another reason, shehaya Yitzchak ola timima. Yitzchak was a korban, and a korban can't have any what? The echiye bo mum. How can they have any blemishes? Any person who's a blemish, any animal that has a blemish, is disqualified from being on the mizbeach. So that he throws as an aside. Gazar omer bilibo. Therefore he says sheishto haita hakara. Therefore he comes to the conclusion that it is indeed Rivka who is barren. She'ulai ratza Hashem shehu yolid banim, page 8, me'isha acheret. Maybe it was the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would indeed be privileged to have a child, but not necessarily through Rivka. V'lo me'Rivka. V'lachein vayeater Yitzchak Lashem l'nochach ishto. Rotze lomar shehitpalel v'asa ritzui lifnei Hashem l'nochach ishto sheyihyu banav mimena v'lo me'isha acheret. Therefore he's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I'm having children, but I don't want any child. I want a dafka from Rivka. And hence, if you use the our psukim plus the little cute idea that he's an oil, a korban oila, but the main thing is the psukim. Our psukim indicate that Yitzchak was already promised a child. Hence, the only one who perhaps is in doubt is Rivka, and therefore we understand what's happening under those circumstances. All right, we'll stop here and continue next of all. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.